Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And then the second stanza, hear the voice that entreats you, O return you unto God. And then the third, he'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. Listen as it's sung. Reading from Paul's letter to Timothy, the second letter, the third chapter, the first few verses. Also reading a few verses from Romans chapter 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And then reading from Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then the last two verses also of that first chapter, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Those that do it are worthy of death, and those that have pleasure in what others are doing, also the same. Not only the guilty ones in actual deed, but those that have pleasure in them. Much of that is done on television. Murder, adultery, immorality. Those who act it out are doing it. And those that have pleasure in it, watch it. And it certainly has its effect on our nation. And we are worthy of death. Let's pray that we will realize that our sins are as scarlet. And only then can they be made white as snow. Pray for that teaching and that blessing. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We pray that Thou wilt make Him unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that we may not be left to have the opposite, a reprobate mind, which can think no good, which can not do anything for Thy glory, nor for the good of mankind, nor for ourself, being, as Paul also said to Timothy, opposers of our own selves. And Father, we have come to that as a nation. We have many blessings given in nature, in grace. Many blessings from our forefathers. And we have, as it were, thrown them to the wind. We have even shown hatred toward them, men in our nation, despising that which is good, hating that which is right, and we are calling evil good and good evil. We are embracing and have embraced murderous ways, hard-heartedness without natural affection. And we know, Father, that it has brought death to the unborn, and death also to others as well, in our hardness of heart, in our carelessness, our wickedness. And we know, Father, that there will be eternal death in the end if there's not repentance. And we pray that Thou wilt so teach us with Thy word that we will repent, that Thou wilt send laborers into the fields that are white under the harvest, that we may be, as a nation, again called to repentance, and especially the church that will be revived, and our homes, and our individual lives, in every area. We confess we need it, and we pray especially, Father, that the church will again be made a salt and a light in the nation and for our homes, that there will be once more righteousness in the midst of all this perilous times and perilous things, all the ways of departing. As Paul could also write to Timothy, that the Spirit speaketh that in the latter time there would be those that would depart from the faith. And we have done that, some even using Thy name to promote wrong things, and so subtle and seemingly right, but not from the power of the gospel, not from that which is from Lord Jesus, Your righteousness alone. And we pray, Father, that we may be taught that again, as our forefathers did, that we may see the wrongness of trusting in our own works, and also realize that we have so few good works, and yet are trusting in them, the lies, the wickedness, the broken homes, and the death of the unborn that comes from much of that immorality. We pray, Father, that we might realize it in repentance before we realize it in judgment. We ask, Father, for Thy blessing on those that are homeless, those that are in hunger, the war-torn lands, the many other needs that there are. We pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray for those in older age. Pray for the children, especially in the broken homes. We pray for our soldiers, wherever they are, our policemen, that they might be protected from the evil ways and evil forces that are there as well, their families. We pray, Father, for all of these needs, and especially the need of having Thy Word preached, both for salvation and for revival, all through Christ. Amen. As we have here these words once again that we have considered before and are certainly here, and as I mentioned last week, one of the most perilous places in our nation, where the most death takes place, the mother's womb. The awfulness of it, as we read from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I wonder how many voted for murderers. Our nation is almost equally divided on that. Some wanting the right to murder the unborn, and others recognizing the error of it, but I'm afraid too much asleep, not realizing the seriousness of it, not being as adamant in being against the death of the unborn as those who are for that death and that murder. They are much more adamant, and it's a sad thing in our nation. It's a sad thing, and sadly, even the churches, as I mentioned last week, a book speaking about abortion and about the terribleness of it, and describing the different ways in which different churches are in regard to it, teaching and practice. And we need to ask ourselves, where am I in regard to all of what is concerned? The causes for the pregnancies that are often wrong, immoral, and sometimes the lack of help to those who are in such cases, the unwed girls that could keep their child if they had help, and other ways that we can think of. And then again, the law itself, thou shalt not kill, and a better translation, thou shalt not murder. That being the most perilous place, worse than being on the dangerous streets, worse than other places, not only the most in number, the thousands every day, but a very high percentage. It is stated that almost a third of the pregnancies end in abortion. Some cities even very close to half. It's almost beyond belief. It's beyond right thinking. How can it be? But it is because of reprobate mind. Not thinking truth. Not thinking with God. And there are many that want to rule out God from society. Rule out His ways. Even speak of those who want to bring us back to the faith of our fathers as mean or narrow-minded. That can be. We can be in those ways in self-righteousness. And that is also very, very wrong, as it was with the Jews, who cleansed the outside of the cup and were warned by the Lord Jesus to take the beam out of their own eye first, and then they could see clearly. They even were guilty of doing what Christ said, you strain out the gnat and swallow a camel. And all these things are being done. One of the worst sins that I had in my conversion, salvation, pride. And that is probably the worst sin in the church, and possibly as well outside the church also. It certainly is there in our political parties. Very proud that one party is right and the other one is wrong, each thinking the same of themselves and others. And we have seen that. We've heard that. It's awful. And again, as we read here, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. All of that is there. Lovers of their own selves that will lead into covetousness. How can I get my way? And there have been in our nation many lies told to gain power or to get the place of others, to destroy others, to get them away from where many want to be themselves. When we've seen the previous election, the reaction to losing for some was terrible. They were what you could call poor losers. They were in such a way that anyone would say, who would want them to be leaders? Spoiled children, angry. I saw a picture yet last week, a picture of people shouting after the election, and their mouths looked like the top of a barrel, so big, so open, doing that. And it wasn't over issues, it was over their losing the election, and against others who had won. They were in that place, covetous, boasters, proud, unthankful, unholy. Jude writes about them as well as Paul. Paul writing to the church at Rome, the New Testament church. Paul writing to Timothy, a fellow minister. And Jude writing in a general way, given in a way of warning, that certain men were crept in unawares. And he said of some of them, he says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. That's exactly where we are today as a nation. And, sadly, much of it in our homes as well. When we read disobedient to parents, and we also know the lack of love between husbands and wives, with so many broken homes. It's a very sad truth. And it is then again, without natural affection. Truce breakers. Where could be a worse place than in the home to be a truce breaker? When the truce has been in marriage, till death do us part. Many become, as we also read in this third verse, false accusers. I've sat in the courtroom with people arguing in the divorce proceedings, fighting over the children, accusing each other, and often accusing the other of what they were guilty of themselves. The description gets almost stronger toward the end of that third verse. Incontinent. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. What could be worse? Despisers of those that are good. It's one thing to despise the evil. And even in that, we have to be patient. We have to be humble. Because we often are guilty with others, and guilty as others. We better be careful not to despise something that we may be not only equally guilty, or, as I mentioned the words of Christ a moment ago, take the beam out of your own eye first. And then you can see clearly to take the splinter out of another's eye. But we are certainly living in the midst of these descriptions. Lovers of their own selves. People almost knowingly tell lies, not caring whether they're a lie or not, thinking if they can achieve their purpose by it, even if it's found later to be a lie, at least they have accomplished what they set out to do. That is, again, in covetousness, to gain a place, to gain a way, to gain things. We often think of covetous as money. It can be that, but it can be many, many other areas as well. And then along with it, boasters. problem. Blasphemers. Many times the ones that are opposite one of another, both use the name of God. And as the old saying goes, they can't both be right, but they can both be wrong. Both be blasphemers, not having the fear of God, not having that which is the right beginning. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of understanding. And some are so lacking in understanding that they say, no use talking to others. They don't understand what's true. Again, if it is true of the other, it's very possibly true of both without understanding. It's a sad day when we can't discuss things, when we can't go back and forth. There used to be honest debates in government. Today it's dishonest accusations, lies. Part of it is the blessing of our past is despised. Yes, there were terrible sins in the past, but often they were recognized. They realized that though your sins be as scarlet, and they were, there was a way in God, a way from God, a way in Christ. They shall be as white as snow. But to have all of that, instead of to have these sad ways here, described by Paul to Timothy, described to the New Testament church, without understanding, covenant breakers, implacable, unmerciful, mankind like that. And here Paul is writing to the church. In Timothy, Paul is writing to a fellow pastor, an evangelist, telling him how he has to think of those that he has to minister to, what he has to teach. And for himself to believe this, he states another place, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We need again the doctrine of God, the doctrine of man, God in his holiness, man in his sinfulness, man at the fallen state needs to be redeemed, bought back by Christ. And he did that on the cross, shedding his blood. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God took on him the form of a man, humbled himself to the death of the cross. And then as Paul wrote to the Philippians, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. It was Christ revealing himself to Paul and stopping him and then making Paul say, who art thou, Lord? And hearing the answer, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And then Paul, becoming very suddenly, wonderfully, as a little child, asking, what wilt thou have me to do? And certainly he was one that followed in the way of Christ and can say to us, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. And we have to be followers in these truths here that Paul wrote to Timothy. He wrote them 1900 years ago, a little over that, and said, in the last days there will be perilous times. I don't think we are wrong to say they're here. They've come. We are in them. Who in honesty would dare to say that these things are not true of us more than any other generation? It's alarming. Alarming how people will accuse others. And as one of the communist leaders said, accuse others of what you are guilty of yourself. do that to gain your ends. They have done that. Others have done that. And now our nation is doing it. It's a terrible, terrible danger. Yes, a danger. Perilous times are dangerous. They're dangerous for the present. What it's doing. And murder. Broken homes. Suicide. Frustration. People having to go for drugs to try to calm their minds. All these different ways are there. We're in the middle of them. We're in the midst of them. Will we recognize it, that we can be still delivered from perilous times? Thankfully, there have been times before, sometimes called the Dark Ages. There was a Reformation. There were terrible times in the history of our country after our forefathers had come here and been here for a little over 100 years before we were even an independent nation. They were falling away in doctrine, falling away in practice, wrong doctrine. Young people were living terribly. Jonathan Edwards preached against the false doctrine. He took the young people, as it were, under his wings, spoke to them. Sometimes the parents didn't always appreciate it, but God began to work in their hearts, and the awakening, the reviving, began actually with the young people. One of the most immoral young girls was one of the first ones, and there were then more, and that's what we need today to deliver us from our perilous times. We need to do as we sang. Hear the voice that entreats you. This isn't just given to describe us. This is given to call us. This is given as a doctor describes the patient when there's a danger. And then there's something that has to be done. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. The next chapter, the fourth chapter, he begins it with, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and in doctrine. He warns that the time will come when they want to endure it, but he tells Timothy, do it. Preach the word. What does the word tell you and me? It tells us to repent toward God. It tells us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved.
To God be the glory.
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise